This morning we're going to take our Bibles and go back to the book of Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And you know what? It's all about rescuing souls. I appreciate my son singing that song and rescuing souls and the lateness of this hour. And the title of my message this morning fits this. It's a pep rally. In Acts chapter 19 there, and I want you to look there in verse number 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took them upon to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know." Notice that. "But who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all the men. And they counted the price of them and found it was 50,000 pieces of silver. And so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in his heart, when he had passed through Macedonia, Archaea, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." And he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto them, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time, notice this carefully, there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of the like occupation, and says, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying, they be no gods, which are made with hands." Let's just look to the Lord this morning in a word. Heavenly Father, what a joy and a privilege it is, Lord, to be back once again in my home church, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for my dad. I thank you for my mom. I thank you, Lord, for my special friends that have come out today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for their friendship that goes back so many years, and yet they're still serving you and still putting you first. What a joy that brings to my heart. And Father, I just want to be a blessing, Lord. I pray that you'd hide me behind your cross this morning. Father, that you would use this message, Lord, to bring encouragement where encouragement is needed and conviction where conviction is needed. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, that we would be what you would want us to be in the lateness of this hour for your honor and glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hold your ears if you need to this morning. That will wake you up if you're asleep, right, Vince? He said he worked late last night. Wake you up for sure, Vince. I told him, I said, I'm going to be right up on the side of him if he doesn't do that. I was going to throw some candy out here today, but I said, I can't do that for a pep rally. Normally, though, you blow horns and you throw candy, you throw balls out, and you get people excited, don't you? There's something special about pep rallies. You know, pep rallies are designed to get us fired up and to get us fired up during VBS openings for years. Those that were involved, Christy, you're involved in VBS here, and those that were involved in VBS, you know how important it is that the openings and the closings are bizarre. I'm telling you. I can remember years ago being in the church, and I was called the gentle giant years ago, and we would get pies in each other's face and everything else to try to stir up the kids. To stir the kids to come back another day, to come back on Tuesday, to come back on Wednesday. There's something special about stirring people up for VBS. So the excitement level will be great. You know, in the Republican and Democratic convention, they stir up their home base. During basketball games, I'm not a Chicago Bulls fan, never was. I never used to like Michael Jordan, but back in his day, when the players were introduced, the lights would go down and everybody would stand to their feet and literally all pandemonium would take place there. There's something special about stirring up the fans. so they get their home base going. We stir up swimming pool water, hopefully, by using a filter at least 1 hour or 2 hours every single day, because we know stagnant and untreated water can breed disease. We stir up paint so that we can properly use it. We stir up soup so that it won't stick to the bottom of the pan and thus burn. We stir up, I don't know about you, I like stirring up my chocolate milk from Wawa. I'm still drinking that. But stir up the chocolate milk so that way it tastes better. There's something special about that. We stir up different things. We use such appliances as blenders and mixers in order to stir or mix certain foods and ingredients together. Normally, if you go to an amateur professional baseball game during the intermission time, especially they used to have it at Surf Field down there in Atlantic City, where they would literally shoot up hot dogs into the fans. If you go to the Phillies game, they'll do that, or shoot up into the fans' t-shirts, and they get you riled up, and the side that's cheering the most is the one that's going to have a hot dog shot their way, or have a t-shirt shot their way. But they're trying to stir up their home base. There's something special about stirring people up. Let me just say this morning. As God's people, we all need a pep rally in order to get us where we need to be and out of our spiritual lethargy, out of our spiritual lukewarmness, and say, God, I want to be fired up. I want to be fired up. You know, the prophet Amos said this, woe unto them that are in ease in Zion. Woe unto them that are ease in Zion. You see, society is like stew. If you don't stir it up every once in a while, a layer of scum floats at the top. Literally, and my friend this morning, we need to shake things up. The early believers in the church of Jerusalem were stirred up, so much so, that they turned our world upside down and inside out for the glory of God. Amen. People were getting saved left and right on the day of Pentecost underneath Peter's preaching. 3,000 souls got saved. And you know what happened amongst Jerusalem, amongst the people there? They said, something is happening in that church of Jerusalem. Well, let's go over there and let's be spectators for a little while. Let's see why they're so excited. Let's see why they're so fired up. I want to tell you, it's time for the church of God to be fired up. It's time for us to get out of our spiritual lethargy and just be as exciting for Jesus Christ as we would, not at the Sixers game, they're not so good. Not even at the Phillies game, but be excited for God. Be excited for the things of God. After all, we have the life-transforming message to rescue one more soul. Amen? To get people to heaven. The Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I still believe the world needs the Lord. People need the Lord. That early church was so shaken up. In fact, if you go back with me to Acts chapter 4, I want to read just a couple of verses there to show you how much they were shaken. In Acts chapter 4 there, beginning with verse 31. Acts chapter 4, beginning verse 31. I'm going to read quickly. I have a lot to say and a little time to say it in. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And notice verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I want to tell you, they were so filled with the Spirit that church grew in leaps and bounds. Within a couple of years, that church grew to almost 50,000 people. That church was on fire for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, when is the last time that your spirit was stirred up or shaken through a message that was preached behind your pulpit? Wherever you might go to church, when's the last time the Spirit of God stirred you up so much that you cried over a message? That you said, by the grace of God, I want to change my way of life. By the grace of God, I want to have an impact upon my world for Christ. Whether it be at your company or your school or your office, wherever it might be, I want to be that man, that woman that God wants me to be. Let me just say this to you this morning. If you're saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the same Holy Spirit that Jack Hiles had that lived in him. You have the same Holy Spirit that D.L. Moody had that lived in him. You have the same Holy Spirit that Fanny Crosby had that lived in her. And the Holy Spirit of God wants to do a great work in all of our lives. He really does. He doesn't want us to settle for mediocrity. He doesn't want us to settle that way. And let me just say this morning. If we're going to be deemed usable and meet for the Master's use and prepared to every good work, we need to stir up some things. The Apostle Paul wasn't an average, forgive me for saying this, he was an average Joe Schmo Christian. The Apostle Paul was a man that was serious. The moment he got saved on the Damascus Road, he never looked back. He ran forward for the cause of Christ. In fact, in Acts chapter 19 here, he stirred up that town, that dark town of Ephesus, so much that many of them, they lost their jobs and they had some crooked jobs in that city. And he turned that town of Ephesus, that city of Ephesus, upside down and inside out. That's what I need to be doing. It convicted me. I need to be turning my town upside down for God. When you think about it this morning, this wicked city of Ephesus, which was indeed Satan's stronghold, after all, was filled with demonic activity. It was filled with superstition. It was filled with idolatry. It was filled with immorality. You name it, that place was a dark, dark place. Doesn't that sound like the world that we live in this morning? A dark place. A place, my friend, and you might say, you don't know how wicked my place is, Pastor. You don't know how wicked my school is. You don't know how wicked my plan is. You don't know the people that work alongside of me. If God be for us, then who can be against us? If God is on your side, you already have the victory in Christ. And Paul knew that. Certainly he did. My friend, in Acts chapter 19, he says, Paul, I know. The demons knew who the Apostle Paul was. Isn't that exciting? Every single morning the Apostle Paul got up. I'm sure that Satan and his demonic forces said, we need to get somebody on the Apostle Paul today because he's going to be leading people to Christ. He's serious about living his life for the Lord. I want to tell you, my friend, when you're out on the basketball court, I can't jump, never could. Tried to jump. Jay would always feel like this to me, my older brother. He would play football, basketball with his elbows, but he was better than me. I'm just saying that he was better than me in that way. But you know something? When you have somebody that's good in basketball, you want to make sure you have a body on, right? You want to make sure you have a body on. You got to guard that person because that person single-handedly can win the game for the team. Let me just say, the Apostle Paul was such a threat for the kingdom of God, the demons of hell didn't like it when he woke up every morning. I want to tell you, we need to stir up our Jerusalem for Christ that way. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and there, in 1 Corinthians 16, I want you to notice verses 8 and 9, and I'm going to go quick. It says there, it says, but I tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectuals open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Let me just say, if you want to do something for God, accomplish anything for the cause of Christ, you can expect persecution and opposition to come your way. The Bible says, yea, all that live in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so, my friend, if you're a child of God, and if you're on the front lines in that teaching that Sunday school class, on that front lines, and as a bus captain, on the front lines as a Sunday school teacher, you can expect the enemy fire to come your way. It's part of the territory. It's part of the territory. But isn't it a blessing to know if the enemy fire comes your way, you must be doing something right, amen? You must be doing something right. I want to tell you that's what happened to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 32. He had to fight with wild beasts there in Ephesus, the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32. He was up against all these things. In fact, there in Ephesus was one of the seven wonders of the world, and that being the Temple of Diana. The worship that took place around that temple was with a lot of immoral practices of that day. My friend, we have a lot of immorality today. Everywhere we go, we're living in a dark world, and every day our society abandons the Bible the further we go in the wrong direction. I want to tell you this morning, we as God's people, we need to stir it up. The Apostle Paul made an incredible difference for the glory of God back then. He stirred up the proverbial flame. He stirred up the proverbial flame. Listen, the preaching of the Word of God should stir up your spirit, hopefully unto allegiance and not one to anger. Amen. I always tell my people in the church, I said, listen, it's not me that's speaking, it's the Holy Spirit of God that's speaking through me. So if I'm saying something and it seems like I've been in your house, I've been listening to a conversation, I said, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. It's not me, I can't, I'm not omnipresent, only God is omnipresent. But I want to let you know something this morning. At least you, I like people that at least will get angry. At least they're listening, right? If they don't bow their will to the will of God, at least they're listening. We should never fall asleep when the Word of God is being preached unless we've worked a long hour, right, Vince? I'm picking on Vince today. All right? I paid him off to say that before the service. That's why I sat up front right along in the back of him. No. But anyway, my friend, this morning, we need to stir up the pot. We need to stir up the pain. We need to stir up the water. We need to stir up, listen, our hardened soil of our hearts so that the Lord can work in our lives. We need to do that more than ever. And so if we're going to be deemed usable and meet for the Master's use, the same way the Apostle Paul was, and by the way, you might say, all I am is one man. All I am is one woman. I have hundreds of people working around me. I'll tell you, the Apostle Paul was only one man, but God used him in a mighty way. He wants to use you in a mighty way. He really does. He wants to use you, whatever capacity you're in this morning. So we need to stir up some things. First of all, we need to stir up our minds. We need to stir up our minds. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 says, this second epistle, beloved, now I write unto you in both which to stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. I emphasize your pure minds by the way of remembrance. Your pure minds. Stir up the embers to produce ongoing flame for the glory of God. You know, that's so important. We need to stir up our minds. If you go with me to 2 Peter just for a second. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. If we're going to accomplish anything for God, we need to stir up our minds. We need to stir up our minds. And I tell the people all the time, I said, I like preaching to the hearts of people because not everybody has heads, but everybody has a heart. Everybody has a heart. And all of us need to do something with the Word of God that's preached in our lives. And so 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, it says, wherefore I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in the tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You say, what is he saying here? He was telling these believers, as Paul was telling the believers there in Ephesus as well. We'll look at it in a minute. He says, I want you to stir up your pure minds. Don't forget what I've taught you. To stir up means to arouse. It means to awaken from your sleep because Jesus Christ is coming back at the rapture from his church. I believe that he can come back this morning. I believe the Lord is coming back soon, don't you? I believe with everything that's a fiber within me, we're living in the ninth inning. The game is just about over. I don't know about you, but the ninth inning is a critical time. The last quarter in football is a critical time, my friend, of the game, because that's where everything is on the line. And my friend, we're privileged as born-again believers to live at that final hour before we're caught up out of here. Let's make sure that we're stirred up. Let's make sure we're fired up in our ministry for God, wherever he's put us this morning. Let me just say, we can't afford at the late hour to put our minds into neutral and let all the negative influences of this sin-darkened society that shows shaping the views and core values of people nowadays. If you watch news long enough in the wrong stations, I'll tell you one thing, your mind will be twisted real quick. We better know the Word of God, amen. We better be in the Word of God more than we're, and this is convicting, more than we're watching TV, more than we're doing other things, because we need to more the mind of the Word instead of the mind of the world. We need to say, God, I want your mind. I want to be used in a mighty way. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because after all, nowadays, everything is toleration. After all, we need to tolerate every lifestyle. We need to tolerate the wrongs and the rights today. I want to tell you, my friend, the Bible says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Not hate people, but hate the evil that the people are committing. If you have a garden, you hate the weeds because you know the weeds kill your garden.
As a doctor, you know a disease will kill your patient, so you hate the disease. You don't hate your patient, but you hate the disease. Amen? Let me just say this morning. We need to stir up our minds. We need to have the mind of Christ in our lives. We really do. We need to pull down Satan's strongholds, the Bible says, because there's a lot of strongholds that are competing for our minds today. I want to ask you, what is your mind feeding upon this morning? The mind is the atmosphere of the soul. Garbage in, garbage out. When God controls the mind, Satan cannot lead the believer astray. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. The best solution to this is surrender your mind to the Lord at the beginning of each day. Surrender your mind to the Lord at the beginning of each day. Our defeat, our victory begins with what we think. I like what my dad preached in Sunday school. It matters that we get in the Word of God every morning and have our personal time alone with the Lord, because we need that time alone with the Lord so that we'll filter out all the impurities that are up here. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to realize, put the Lord first. If He's not first in your day, you know it as well as I do. You'll get a phone call. You'll get everything that will happen to you because your schedule is umpteen busy. If we don't make time in the morning for God, consequently, we won't have time all day for Him. My friend, it's important that we surrender our mind to the Lord at the beginning of each day. Secondly, let the Holy Spirit renew your mind through a purifying agent of the Word of God. The Bible says in John 15, verse number 3, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true. Just as we would get up every morning and have a shower and take a shower to make sure we're physically clean, God says, I want you to get a spiritual bath. I want you to take a spiritual shower. I want you to be in the Word of God so that day you'll be pure. I don't know about you, but sometimes my son has a little betta fish and at times I can't compete. I won't have a dog because I don't want to clean up outside all the mess and all in the backyard. It's bad enough with a little betta fish. I go in there at times, I say, I can't believe the tank is dirty already. And that's super easy. I have to change the tank water. The water's starting to become blocked a little bit. I want to tell you, my friend, we have to watch out because our hearts become black a little bit, don't they, during the course of the week. We need to be in Sunday morning service. We need to be in Sunday night service. We need Wednesday night service. We need to be in the house of God. Because after all, it will purify us. As you pray each and every morning to the Lord, ask the Lord to give you a single mind, a submissive mind, a spiritual mind, a secure mind. And during the course of the day, this is what I always have to do. Mind your mind. Amen? Mind your mind. If you find yourself losing peace and joy, stop right away and take inventory and say, Lord, I've gotten you off track a little bit today. Stir up your mind by the way of remembrance, my friend. It's so important. I believe with all of my heart that we're only in service a few hours a week, but we're out in the world the rest of the week, so we need messages that are going to speak to us where we're at, that are going to convict us, that are going to comfort us, because, my friend, we need more of the Word inside of us. And I'm talking about myself this morning. The walls of resistance in our mind, these walls are like the walls of Jericho. Have you ever noticed in today's day and age, the thinking of the world, the thinking of Christians is only 5 years back away from the thinking of the way the world thinks? The things that we used to watch back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, the shows that we thought were so bad, back then, they're not so bad anymore. Because after all, the world's gotten a lot worse since that time. But let me just say, the Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. So our minds need to be pure. We need to have the mind of the Word. We need to bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. And so it's important that we have His mind. But back there in 2 Peter, it's not only talking about having a pure mind, but I think it's also talking in 2 Peter chapter number 3, and we're going to look at this a little bit later, but it's talking about that our minds need to be saturated. Just go with me for a minute. I want you to notice 2 Peter once again, verse 12, it says, wherefore, I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. I forgot to make mention. The word these things, if you go back
There to chapter 1, you're right there in chapter 1, verse 4, whereby you are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness charity. Please notice this. For if these things be in you and abound, they may make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be fruitful, don't you? What our world needs more than ever, I've been doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit on Wednesday night. What our world needs is some vitamins. Vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E. Because fruit has with it vitamins, doesn't it? Let me just say, if you're saved, you have with it the vitamins that the world needs. You and I have with it the vitamins the world needs. And so we always have to be growing in grace. We need to be adding to our faith, because we all know if we just let a building just stand there, and I have a problem because many times after a little while, everything in the house needs to be fixed. I'll say, I'll get that next week, right? I'll let that go. My wife still has a list for me, but she's good about it. Things that need to be fixed all over the house. And if I don't tackle one, pretty soon it's going to be 12. Let me just say this. We never stay neutral spiritually. We need to be adding to our faith all the time. We need to make sure that our mind has the mind of Christ, that we add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, that we're growing in grace. Stir up your minds. Don't be content with status quo of Christianity today. I like all players that always put on the line. I used to like, not that he did everything right, but Pete Rose. I used to like Pete Rose because Pete Rose, when he played on the Phillies, at first base, after he got the other team out, he would bounce the ball on the artificial turf back then, and he would run into the dugout. When he slid, he would slide head first. He was excited. He was enthused about the game. And by the way, that was contagious, wasn't it? Let's stir up our minds. Let's stir up our minds and let's be in the Word of God. Let's think on godly things. Let's be growing in grace and not groaning in disgrace. Let's grow in grace. First of all, if we're going to reach our world for Christ, we need to stir our minds up again. We need to stir up, secondly, our ministries up again. Our ministry's up. Because Paul said to young Timothy, and I like what he said, by the way, to this young preacher. You might be here and you say, all I am is a teenager. All of I am is a child. How can I be used of the Lord? The Bible says, let no man despise you. Praise the Lord. You can be an example for God at the age of 8, at the age of 9, at the age of 10. I praise the Lord for the years I had in teaching Sunday school like Christy, and to see her here this morning, and to see the ones that are living for God. That blesses my soul. Don't let anybody say you're too young. You don't know what you're talking about. Be like Timothy. Let no man despise your youth. Live your life in a manner that's pleasing unto God. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, the Bible says this. And I like what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. He says this. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. I don't know about you. I'm not much of a camper.
I think if I'm not mistaken, well, I'm not a camper, right? I'm not. I remember the first year I was, the only year, and I praise the Lord, was the only year I was up there. The only year I was up in the Adirondack Mountains up there at Wordland, above Screw Lake, New York, where it literally stayed cold. Not as cold as it does in upper state of Michigan, by the way, Clifford. But cold. From October all the way through May. It was cold. And when we were there, literally in the month of May, we had to have a class in camping. And I said, why camping? What does this have to do with college hall? And so literally at the end of our studies, we were there for a year. Then in the summertime, after you got done with your final exams and you were all burnt out, then they brought in all the campers from New York City. Literally. And they said, now you're in charge of 20 campers. I said, I don't believe. I had some of the kids that came in from New York City, and they look at the lake out there and said, What is that? I said, what's what? They never saw a lake before. But during the course of the week, I found out that I had to go camping, and I had to bring the kids all the way up to the top of this hill. And I said, I'm not a camper. And so, like I normally am, I forgot. I brought the food. You know how much for bringing food. I brought the food. I forgot the light. I forgot a flashlight. And we were up there the first hour on the hour. You know what took place? Raccoons. Raccoons were right alongside my campers. And I had the bag of food. I gave the food over to one of my campers that night. And I'll tell you one thing. He was one. Every time I would fall asleep and wake up, that raccoon was there. And I was debating. I said, either I go back down the bottom of the hill and get in after the class of camping, or else I just stay here the rest of the night, and maybe I'll get an egg. And so I put up with that for about an hour or so at the most. And I told all the kids, we're going back now. I give up. I'll get the egg for the class, but I'm not staying up here all night. And you know something? You say, why did you say that, Pastor? We need to stir up. I forgot the matches. We need to stir up the embers of our ministry. To fan the flame again. Amen? To fan the flame. If it's not exciting to you, it won't be to your Sunday school class. If you're not on fire and you're soul winning, it won't be. You won't be able to win anybody to Christ. Stir up that ministry that God has given to you as a Sunday school teacher, as a pastor, as a bus worker. Be excited for God. Be enthusiastic for God. We're enthusiastic about a ball game. We're enthusiastic about something else. But are we really enthusiastic about the kingdom of God? And we wonder why we're not winning the world to Christ. We blame Washington. We blame the Hollywood crowd. But I have myself to blame. We have ourselves to blame. We need to stir up our minds. We need to stir up our ministry. You say, all I have is a couple people. You might have another D.L. Moody that you're teaching. You might have another Fanny Crosby that you're teaching. You might have somebody that's drinking it all in. Someone that's going to go out and do a great work for God. Someone like Clifford in the back. That's a preacher himself today. I remember him when he was small like this. I don't want to embarrass him, but praise God. He's a minister. He loves the Lord. He's on fire. His wife loves the Lord. That's what it's about. You don't know who you have in that class. You don't know who you have on that bus route. Keep on doing the right thing. Hebrews 1 verse 7 says, and the angels, he said, who maketh his angels a spirit and his ministers a flame of fire. I don't know about you, but when you put a little fire, you stoke the fire, the flame begins to get brighter, doesn't it? And it begins to get hotter. You and our dark, dark world needs to see a flame that is bright. Amen. A flame that is red hot. People that are red hot for Jesus Christ and will say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve God. I praise God for this church and all those that are serving the Lord. After all these years, you're a blessing. You really are. But I don't know about you, every now and then I need to stir up my ministry. I need to get on my knees before God and say, God, I want you to give me more fruit and much fruit. All I have is but 20 more years in ministry. Lord, I only have a short period of time and I'm going to spend eternity with you. I want to come before you one day and say, Jeff, I had something else for you. I wanted you to produce more fruit, but you were content with just the fruit. You say, I'm not a pastor. It doesn't matter. Whatever ministry God has given to you, do it as unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. This pastor will never go into the factory where you work. Will never go into the office where you're at. Will never go into that school where you're at. You're the only missionary. You're the only minister that's there. The Apostle Paul made an incredible impact upon these people, so much so that they were literally making shrines and relics, as it were, to the temple Diana. That was a big thing in the city of Ephesus, and everybody that went through there had to get a relic. They had to buy a shrine. But it got so bad, the Apostle Paul was leading everybody to Christ, that literally the whole town became enraged. Especially those that worked in making these crafts, these demonic crafts. They were so enraged, they wanted him kicked out of the city of Ephesus. My friend, I want to let you know, we need to stir people up again. We need to stir people up again. We really do, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, the next verse says, and of love and of a sound mind. If one thing I prayed for every day, I said, Lord, I need more love. Lord, I need more power. And Lord, you know this, I need more of a sound mind, more wisdom. I quote that verse, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I need that so much. I need that. We need that in this troubled world that we live in today, where it seems like everything is helter-skelter. We need to be on fire for God. We need to spread. Our Christianity needs to spread like wildfire. If my friend, in the Northeast Corridor, we need churches that are not closing its doors left and right at the tune of 1,000 every year. We need to get on fire for God again and say, God, it's going to start with me. I'm gonna stir my ministry up wherever God's put you. The little song says it best. Brighten in the corner where you are. I won't sing it, everybody will leave. Brighten the corner where you are. We need to brighten that corner where God has placed us. We really do. And whatever ministry you have, do it as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I recognize, I say all the time, every time I preach, the Lord's sitting right there in the front row. No matter how big the crowd is, no matter how small the crowd is, the Lord is hearing you. The Lord is watching you as you teach that Sunday school class, as you have that bus route, as you have your devotions with your kids at the home, at your home. He's there. He's watching us. He really is. That's why the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That verse blows my mind. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all my little puny mind can take in. He wants to use me in a great capacity. He wants to use you in that great capacity. You say, I'm not a minister. It doesn't matter. You're a Christian. You represent Christ. Every time you walk in that office, they should say underneath their breath, here comes that Christian again. Here comes that Bible believer again. And you know who they'll come to when they're in trouble? They'll come to you. They'll come to ask you questions about your Christianity. They'll come to you with their problems. And by the way, our world is so wrapped and full of problems. People want to see some people that are transparent, that are setting the right example more than ever before. Stir up the ministry that God has given to you. The Apostle Paul, let me just say this, he reached out to all Asia Minor, literally. He turned Asia Minor inside out and upside down for the cause of Christ. This one man. God used in a mighty way. We wouldn't be here this morning, us as Gentiles, we wouldn't be here this morning if it wasn't for the Apostle Paul. And by the way, can you imagine the rewards he's receiving right now in heaven? He's been receiving them for years and years and years because as a result of literally being a missionary to the Gentiles, that pays off eternal dividends in heaven. I tell you, that blows my mind. The ministry. An American with an English gentleman was viewing the Niagara Falls when he said to his friend, come and I'll show you the greatest unused power in the world. And taking him to the foot of the Niagara Falls, there he said was the greatest unused power in the world. Oh no, my brother, not so. The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit that just doesn't want to indwell us, and praise God, even we're saved, He indwells us. And by the way, the Apostle Paul shared the way with everybody. No stir of the way. You say, what's that way, Pastor? Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the straight and narrow way, is he not? I want to let you know, we have a story to give to the world. We have a story to give to the nation. People that are hurting, they can't find it in materialism. They can't find it in a bigger house. They can't find it in an iPhone 5. After all, every single year there's a new iPhone that comes out. There's a new updated gadget that comes out. But none of them satisfy. Only Jesus and your walk with the Lord satisfies. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, only Jesus will give to you that which the world cannot give to you. The first three fruit of the Spirit is what the world is looking for in all the wrong places. They're looking for love, joy, and hope. They're looking for these things. And that's found in having a personal, intimate walk with Jesus Christ. The song says it best. It should be our prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, and use me. Oh, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. All the great, the generation that I consider great, most of them are gone now. Then they have passed the spiritual baton with us. I wonder how I do. I wonder how are you doing? I think, and I was in full agreement with all of his doctrinal stands, but I think of Jack Wirtson, the founder of Word of Life, I want to. When I was there, he had a degree of excitement about him. And I'm not going to blow this again, but when he walked in the council hall, literally, he had his dog right in back of him, and he came running into the council hall at the age of 75. He had that ump with him. Even though he was 75, he was like he was 25. And he put his mouth right up to the mic, and boy, everybody, he just lit up the entire place. You say, I don't have that personality. I'm an introvert. I'm not an extrovert. God can use you. It's not in a matter of your personality. It's in a matter of being sold out for Christ and totally surrendered to Him. You've been given one talent. Use that one talent for God. You've been given three talents. Use that three talents for God. If you've been given five talents, use that five talents for God. Christ is coming, folks. I really firmly believe if we're not on fire for the Lord, the Church of the Living God has went into the closets, and the gay and lesbian crowd is now outside. The church used to have an impact for the world. Our founding fathers and the early preachers, the pulpits were on fire as it is this church. I praise God for my dad and how he's on fire for God. All the pulpits in America. And we wonder why America is slowly going down the tubes. We need to stir up our ministries again. We need to stir up our minds again. We need to not waste the brevity of our life that we have and just go through the motions and just go through the routine, because after a while we lose our spunk. We lose our fire. We need to fan the flame. We need to stoke the flame again. Can I tell you why? The eternity of your relatives is at stake. In heaven or in hell, is at stake. When they're there 100 years, and I did this with junior church years ago, and I put zeros behind the one. Once they're there 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000,000 years, it's as though they've only been there for one day. What I'm trying to say is more is at stake in this eternal warfare than all the wars that have ever been fought in the world. We need to stir up the flame. I need to stir up the flame. The hour's late. We're in the ninth inning. We're in the fourth quarter. Lastly, we need to stir up our means. We need to stir up our means. Moses instructs the children of Israel back in Exodus, I don't have time to look at Exodus 35, 20, 21, to give to the Lord out of their heart of gratitude for all that the Lord has done for them in rebuilding and actually building the tabernacle in the wilderness. And you know what he told them to give? He said, I want you to give not your hand-me-downs, I want you to give your best to the Lord. I want you to give your gold. I want you to give your fine metals. I want you to give what you would wear, the things that you want. Let me just say this, for delivering them from the house of bondage, for opening up the Red Sea, for supplying all their needs and all their wants. And the Lord, did He not, after they were in bondage for nearly 400 years, He opened up that Red Sea so the children of Israel could pass through on dry ground, and all the Egyptian soldiers, bar none, drowned in the water? What a miracle! Hey, God, Ben, then, my friend, he fed him from manna from heaven, he quailed, and he led him by a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. They saw many miracles of God. And the Lord says, since I've done all this for you, How would you disturb your needs? Let me just say this. God's the one that gives us power to get wealth. It's not our money anyway. Can I add this? It's not our children anyway. My kids aren't mine. They're God's. They belong to the Lord. I better make sure as a steward that I'm doing a good job, King.
A stewardess in an airplane, she doesn't own the plane. She just distributes what is there on the plane. And if she doesn't distribute the peanuts to me, I'm going to be mad. Right? Or, I deserve a Coke. I had a Coke coming my way. You need to give me a Coke.
Let me just say this. God has given us all different means, our talents, our time, our treasure. And he says, I want you to give it over to me.
You know what I like about our Lord? He's not a consumer, but if you look throughout the Word of God, He's always an investor. You can never outgive the Lord. You give to Him, my friend, and He'll give you much more than you could ever ask or think, because in Luke chapter 6 verse 38, the Bible says this in Luke 6, there in verse number 38. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again.
Let's make sure that we give of our all to Christ. Amen. Stir up our minds. Stir up our ministries. And stir up our means. Because you know what? When we place our means in the offering plate, they might not be receiving great interest here in our banks, but they're not. But I guarantee you one thing. In heaven, it's paid back hundredfold. Let's give to the Lord.
Let's not be satisfied this year by whatever Tom, Dick, and Harry are doing and status quo Christianity. Let's say by the grace of God, I'm going to stir up my mind.
I'm going to stir up my ministry. I want to stir my means. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. I want to make sure that my life counts so that when Jesus sees me face to face, He'll be able to say, as I look at His hands, His nail-scarred hands throughout all of eternity, when we'll have perfect hands. I want Him to say, well done, my good and faithful son. Let's stir it up.
We get stirred up over other things. Let's get fired up. Work up again. I'm going to hear it afterwards, I'm sure.
Let's get fired up again for the glory of God and say, God, here's my life. Whatever I have left in it, use it for your honor and glory. You say, Pastor, I'm older. I remember a number of years ago, actually, Clifford's dad went to college with me. He's a great inspiration to me.
God used him in a mighty way in my life. We were down there together at Trinity, and there's one fellow at the time that was there. As a freshman, he was going to school. He was 75 years old as a freshman.
You know one thing? He graduated from college, went there 4 years, received his BA, his bachelor's degree, and he went off to the mission. Never think that you're too old. Never think that God is through with you.
Say, God, restore my strength. As He restored the strength of Caleb. Remember Caleb? He said, I feel as strong at the age of 75 and 80 as I did at the age of 40. And
let's be with God in our soul. Let's look to the Lord in the room.
Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, this morning, I thank you, Lord, for this privilege. And I mean that from the depths of my being. To be here, to speak to those that I love, Father, those that are living for the Lord, that, Lord, that I've known for years, Lord, I thank you for them coming today. Lord, it bless my soul. Lord, and I pray, Father, Lord, if there be somebody here that knows not Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day they get saved before they leave this place. Lord, and I pray, Father, that you would go up and down these pews this morning, Father, that you would help us, that we would stir up our minds, that we would stir up our ministries. Lord, I know that I'm there all the time. I get complacent. I get cold. I get indifferent. Forgive me. Lord, I pray that you would use us at the lateness of this hour.
Lord, that we would not complain of what's going on in Washington or what's going on in Hollywood, but that we would look at our lives and say, Lord, I need to be fired up once again. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. I want to be all that you want me to be. Help us to that end. This time I'm going to give the invitation over to my Father.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, just before we sing our closing hymn, I trust that indeed that God has spoken to your heart as He did my heart. I trust that indeed that the Lord is working in your life now. If there's a decision you need to make, I hope you'll make that decision this morning as we sing our closing hymn. Don't go away knowing that you should make a decision today. If you don't know Christ, put your faith and trust in Him today. And if you do know Christ and yet there are things that you need to straighten out with the Lord, then do it today. Take spiritual inventory where you are right now in your own life. Let God work in your heart. He wants so much to work in your heart. He saved you. If you're saved, He saved you and He wants to use you. He wants to use you for His honor and His glory. Let Him do that, would you please? Let Him do that. Father, I thank You again for the Lord, the way You've spoken to our hearts. Thank You for the great message we've heard and Lord, how it stirred my heart. I pray, Lord, that we might use our talents and our energies and our resources, everything You've given us to bring honor and glory to Your Son, the Lord Jesus, who has done so very much for us. And Father, I pray for those that are, Lord, are here perhaps or within the sound of my voice that, Lord, that do not know Christ as their Savior. I pray that, Lord, this will be the day that they put their faith and trust in Him, that they'll realize that, Father, that they can have eternal life. And they can not only have eternal life for the life to come, but they can find meaning, fulfillment, and satisfaction in this life that so eludes them now that they need the Lord in order to find that. I pray, Lord, that that will be the case for each one. And we'll give You the praise for it, for we pray and ask it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.